Hello and welcome to another episode of What's the Point, the podcast that helps you find meaning and fulfillment through the stories of exceptional leaders. And I am truly thrilled to be joined by none other than Elizabeth Cowper today. Elizabeth and I met years ago through our work in London together, and she is a powerhouse in the people space, and I truly am delighted to know her. She's worked as HR director for brands like Harvey Nichols, Louis Vuitton Group. She's recently done a TED Talk, but Elizabeth, please do introduce yourself way better than I could.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so grateful to be here. I've had a career of 25 years in HR, and you're right, I worked for the LVMH group on the beauty side. I headed up HR at Harvey Nichols, and then my last corporate role was with Tapestry, who own Coach, Kate Spade and Stuart Weitzman, a big American business headquartered in New York. And then I stepped out on my own to set up Ludo, my business, which I set up just over 3 years ago. And we are a business that drive inclusion and well-being in the workplace. So that's me.
And knowing how you work with such flair for people and gusto. And it's wonderful to be alongside you in the moments that we have together. So as this is called what's the point, let's not mess around and get straight to it. So Elizabeth, what would you say is the point of your life?
I love this question. It's such a big question. I had a really interesting conversation yesterday with somebody where we talked about life purpose. It came up with a client that I'm coaching, and it was really interesting. I wanted just to share something from that, which is that purpose can shift and change. So it's interesting to think about what's the point of my life right here today, but that wasn't the same as maybe 10 years ago. So that evolution of tuning into self and finding what gives us energy and, you know, va-va-voom is so important. So in terms of what's the point of my life today, I truly feel I'm on a one-woman mission as part of the work we do through Ludo to change the workplace of tomorrow. And we have so much work to do in this area. And it's not just about gender. It's about any other marginalized groups, but creating workforces where whoever you are, you can show up as your true best self in the workplace, and facilitating companies in knowing how to do this well. I feel like that is the big point for me and why I'm here on this planet at this time in my life.
Well, and feeling your invigoration around that, you know, and also knowing how you work and knowing how you so often with your life, you know, it's pouring into others, pouring into others. And I completely concur that the point of your life can change from time to time. And I think it's important to every 6 months at least review what that is, because things change for all of us. And with what you're doing and your passions and your challenges, what trends and issues are you seeing within people at the moment?
I think for me, within, you're talking about people, employees in the organisations that I work with. It's obviously been incredibly difficult since the pandemic, where companies have needed to shift and change and realign the way in which they engage their talent. And if you're a company where people come to an office 5 days a week, and that may have shifted to hybrid, you know, that's one big change for a more corporate structure. But of course, there's businesses like supermarkets or hospitals where, you know, those people still have to show up every day in person. But regardless of the dynamic of how people work, what I'm seeing is a big shift in expectations of the workforce in the younger generations. So, you know, we are now have five generations in the workplace, and somebody who has been through their career and is at the, you know, their last however many 10, 15 years of their career are going to see things very differently to somebody in the first 5-10 years of their career. And the younger generation expect more fluidity in how they work. They expect a company that's going to deliver well-being and really create an environment of psychological safety, whether you are physically present in your working building or you're working from home. It doesn't matter. We still, regardless of the way in which that company has its mission to work, it is really critical we value people and demonstrate to them how we do that. And as I said, the younger generation expect this. We can't ignore it.
I love that you've said about valuing people, because I think there are so many workplace well-being, value, recognition, incentives. But I don't know about you, I'm seeing so often and frequently that people don't feel valued as part of the team, the wider organisation. It's really, really interesting. And really interesting what you say about the younger generation really, really craving that. Mm. And then you, when you're not pouring into other people with everything that you do, for you personally, to keep this strength, this gusto, this momentum and impact with the work that you're doing nowadays, what strong habits do you have for yourself?
It's a good question. I mean, I hit burnout beginning of last year, and I talk about it openly that I really hit the wall in terms of how I was working and what I was doing. And it caught up with me. It wasn't a moment. Burnout creeps up on you. It was years of this kind of drive and go and gusto, and to choose your word. And I love that word. So now I really do have quite strong disciplines and habits to maintain valuing me. So I keep fit. I'm really into working out. It's for me a mental health thing as much as keeping my body fit. I like the gym. It clears my mind. It sets me up for the day. So I keep fit. I meditate. I try and do 10 minutes twice a day, morning and evening. And some days it doesn't happen. And that's fine, unless it's accumulative days. And then I begin to feel the difference of not truly centering back into me. So meditation for me is a really good practice. And then I'm really disciplined about the way I eat, annoyingly so. I just quit sugar for 3 months. I just thought, I'm going to do it. Everything, honey, agave, like I cut all of it out as a kind of experiment of my energy levels. And it was transformative. So those crashes during the day and that, because I could easily eat 4 biscuits at 2 p.m. And so I did that. So I think I quite like data. I wear an aura ring. You know, I like data about my body and really finding the ways in which I can optimize my performance to keep my concentration and keep my energy levels up. So I do invest in that time. And I've got 3 kids. So there's a lot to juggle.
Yes, and knowing you, I know how you do invest in that. And I love hearing about, you know, the workouts being such a big part of you. And, you know, Hyrox, was it last year or this year?
I did Relay Hyrox end of last year. So 4 of us. So with my boyfriend, my daughter and my daughter's boyfriend, 4 of us. And then I'm doing it with my boyfriend in New York in June. So as a couples, as 2. And I've set a target to do Hyrox on my own by the time I'm 50. And I've said it here now, so you're going to have to hold me to account on that.
Well, I certainly will. And that is a challenging competition. And in fact, Hannah Lomax, that was the first ever podcast episode. She did one on her own, and she was formidable, absolutely formidable.
I like a goal.
good for you. Well, you know, let's keep you strong in all of that. But you've mentioned about burnout, and how would you say that you set life up to avoid negative experiences like that, or indeed experiencing it again? I'm just going to turn my heater off while you answer that.
No, please do. I have to really tune into myself and pay attention to my body. And as women, when I talk about, you know, feminine and masculine traits, I don't mean it by gender, but we all kind of lead with one. And the feminine is really naturally very good at intuition and tuning into your own body. And I've been appallingly bad at that in the past. So really paying attention now to how I feel. And there are days when I wake up and I feel like I'm walking through treacle and everything feels heavy and exhausting. And you know, those are the days I'll say, well, I'm not going to work out this morning, and I'm going to take some time. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to walk the dogs, or I'm going to just grace myself some quiet time to start that day. The old me would have said, push through, you're being ridiculous. And my inside voice would have been terrible to myself. So I have a much more mindful practice now of paying attention to what's going on in my head. You know, there's that expression, the person you speak to the most is yourself. So make sure you're being kind. So I really check into that when I almost have this, what's the right word? Like an inner guilt, like you're being lazy. You haven't gone to the gym. And I'm like, thank you, inner voice. Now you can go away. So I think just being mindful of tuning into your own body and how you feel is a really great way for me to avoid hitting the wall again and just looking after myself a bit more.
I love that intuition that you kind of know when things are out of kilter as well. I've coined the term a bit short fusey. That for me is the first sign that I need to check in. I'm a little bit short fusey. And that's with an email on, you know, on the phone to someone, dear, you know, I'm just a little bit more short fusey. And I think, right, something needs to change. So great. I love hearing about the intuition in you. And then I think it's a big question, a bold question, but an important one, is looking at your success. We've spoken about your brilliant business and the impact that you're making and the drive behind that. But looking at the bigger picture, so work and daily life, what does success look like to you?
I think that balance is a big word that springs to mind. Just really having that balance. I know that work has been all consuming for me in the past, and it was for probably 15, 20 years. And it's not anymore. It's about prioritizing relationships. And, you know, and when I say relationships, I don't necessarily mean your significant partner. I mean your children, your friends, your family. You know, we can easily put those things to one side because work demands something of us. And I know I've done that in the past. So investing in connection is a real biggie for me. And I think having that balance is probably the right word. It really is. But that balance between work, play, working out, running the house, being a mother, you know, back to work, all of that, and blending in what it means to be a founder, CEO of a business, and a mom, and someone who runs a home. I just, you know, you've got to know that you can't have it all, but you just have to balance it and know that you're going to have to compromise somewhere at all times. It's just knowing where you can compromise and where you can't. And so I think keeping an eye on the balance, and the balance changes every day. You know, there are going to be demands I have from my son, for example, one day that aren't there the next. So it's just moving the dial all the time to have a sense of balance.
Oh, I genuinely love hearing your very realistic answer there, because as you say, I don't believe we can have it all without a compromise. Mm. Meaning that morning and afternoon, that balance needs to shift and change.
And yeah, I had this expression about that, which is you can have it all, but not at the same time. So you're going to have all of this, and then you're going to have all of that. But if you try and do them at the same time, you're spreading yourself too thin. So if you think of it like that, you can have it all, but not at the same time.
Brilliant. Now, understanding that you are not Mystic Meg, I am not Mystic Meg, and we don't have a crystal ball under our desk.
If only.
What would you say the future in workplaces looks like to you in 5 years' time?
Oh, that is a great question. We are evolving and changing, and companies who are embracing the way in which we work on a more global, fractional, adaptable level, I really believe will thrive. You know, the talent pool has widened so much now with hybrid working and remote working, where you might need a CMO for your business and you can now find one in North America, for example, who's going to support a business in the UK. And that's just one idea. So I think where we can be expansive in our mind and bring in diverse talent, diverse ways of thinking, we can only deliver good in our business. And you might say, well, a North America CMO, what do they know about the UK? Taking that example. Well, guess what? They're going to bring a different view. And that's really exciting. You know, they're going to see things through a different lens. So for me, the workplace of the future is about being open to a different mindset, different ways of working, much more adaptability and flexibility on how we bring our talent together and how we work. And flexible working was seen as a mum issue in the past. And if you worked flexibly pre the pandemic, there was this bias that suggested you were probably a mother. Flexible working is not for mums. It's for everybody and always has been. And I think that's a silver lining of COVID, that we're beginning to see this ability to work more flexibly. And companies that embrace that, for me, will really thrive 5 years down the line, because you will engage and you will retain good talent, and they'll want to keep working for you because they can balance real life and the job and thrive in their true authentic self. And so I think that's a really critical path of where we are going in the next 5 years. I really do. I think employment is shifting and changing hugely.
I think that is a real power-packed answer, really power-packed answer. And I love that you say it's not a mum issue now. You know, the flexible working, it had that stigma, but it really it's really hopefully not at the moment, but certainly that's going to be eradicated in years to come.
Absolutely. Everybody has the right to apply for flexible working legally, and there is still stigma around that. You know, you don't need a special reason. You don't need to say, oh, it's because of my children. You can apply to work flexibly. So let's encourage that and create it as being a norm for everybody.
You know, because my belief with what I do, you know, and it's really, really simple, is the happier people are, the more productive they are.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And creating psychologically safe workplaces where if somebody is a bit less than happy and they've got something they want to express, or maybe they've got a challenge at home, if we create support in workplaces to help those people ride out what I describe as life, you know, then we can really engage talent. Because we talk about productivity in a happiness index of employees in the workplace, and yet people have deaths in the family, the boiler breaks down, your child is sick, you know, you've got an aged relative, you are managing a broken leg. I don't know. It could be literally anything. And this is just life stuff. And the more that we can embrace life in the workplace and acknowledge that we are human and we are people and we have feelings, the more we can create psychologically safe workplaces where we say, we'll support that. We understand you're going through a hard time. We are here for you. Let's make that normal rather than having to, you know, squash down emotion in the workplace or pretend everything's fine in our real world when actually we're struggling to do our jobs well. If we can support people through life, we're going to create far more engaged and productive employees.
And we all, everybody listening, you will, I will, we all remember the leaders, the bosses that did that with us.
Absolutely. And we remember the ones that didn't. And this is the foundation of the Ludo Tech platform. You know, it's being able to put access to resource for life stuff in front of your employees that they can access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because we want to help people in the moment where that stuff comes up for them, to help them manage that, you know, as a business.
Awesome. And then when life exacerbates you, like really knocks you for six, what is it that keeps you going?
Oh my goodness, that's a really good question. What is it that keeps me going? Oh my God, I've got all sorts of things pinging in my head as you ask that question. I would say going out for dinner with my boyfriend. Is what I love, being taken out for dinner. I hate to say it, it's true. I love it. I love sitting in a restaurant and connecting with someone over a table. So whether it's him or a friend or just taking myself out of my life for 2 hours, that really, really grounds me back down and really has me feel true joy, real joy, I'd say.
And I love and really respect that answer, because it is actually so simple, but you're right. You know, going out for a meal and connecting with someone in a different environment truly connects you with them, a bit with yourself, hopefully a great meal, hopefully. But it does take you out of things for a while. I love that answer.
Yeah, it does. Can I just pick up on something you said then about a different environment? I know that from my corporate days, in a couple of my corporate jobs, I was expected to be in the office from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. with back-to-back meetings, and it wasn't really the done thing to leave. So, you know, you had lunch at your desk. And I just wanted to pick up on your point that if you walk around the block for 20 minutes and clear your head, you do start bringing in even that short window creativity. Your brain gets to think in a different way because you're in a different space. So I just wanted to bring that in on a very basic level of how the workplace needs to change to create creativity and have people thrive in thinking and magic rather than sit at your desk, don't move, go nowhere. Those days are dead.
Yeah. And you'll know, you know, think back to the 80s office environments that were that, weren't they? That, you know, they were that. Yeah. You know, be at your desk in this stagnant environment and come up with good ideas. What were we thinking? And you yourself, and again, I understand that this can change over time. At the moment, what three values would you say you live by that are guiding you?
What values?
Yeah.
Honesty. I'm a real truth shouter. Like, be in truth. And I mean, truth to yourself, because we can all lie to ourselves and pretend that something's not the case, but be true to yourself, like really own your stuff, and be honest with others. That's a biggie for me. Other values. I mean, I've got big family values around the family. And then I have a really strong work ethic, but that's more about self-worth and self-value. You know, if we invest in ourselves and look after ourselves and perform well and, you know, can go after goals, we're not always going to get it right. And there's going to be down days, but it's self-prophesizing. So when you get a win, you feel then you build your confidence to go and do more of it. So I think that whole invest in self is a big value for me. And as I said earlier, I neglected that and I paid the price. And so I think that that's a really important thing to keep bringing to the surface. And then, yeah, values around my family, for sure. You know, I've got three kids, so having them being part of my life is a real biggie, and I want to help them thrive and grow in their life.
Beautiful. And how would you say that journey you've just been through, based on your values, how would you say that they keep you focused on living the point of your life?
I think to achieve the point of my life in this purpose of shifting the workplace of tomorrow, I have to keep investing in self and what I'm doing to look after me. Otherwise, I'm going to break. And if I break, I won't achieve the life mission. And that, I think that's, and if you have to take a day off or 2 days off to come back to the life mission, that's okay. That's okay. It's gracing yourself with kindness and allowing that breathing space to come back stronger rather than pushing through the difficult days.
Love that. Come back stronger. Beautiful. That feels a great place to bring this into land. Elizabeth Calvert, have you got anything you'd like to say to our audience, anything you'd like to offer, or where they can contact you, etc.?
Oh, thank you. Just a really big thank you to you for having me. Just to say, at Ludo, you know, we offer fractional HR work. We've got our tech solution and we do all sorts of amazing workshops and training on things like unconscious bias and all sorts of other things. And then we also have something called the Ludo Collective, which is an online community for HR wellbeing and DEI leaders. And you can look it up on Google, theludocollective.com, or weareludo.com, or find me on LinkedIn. But always happy to have a quick chat with anyone that just wants to sort of pick my brains or run through something. Yeah, no obligation. Just feel free to reach out on LinkedIn and track me down. And yeah, happy to have a chat.
You, Elizabeth Cowper, are a shining light.
Thank you.
You really are. Thank you so much for the impact and meaning that you've brought to this podcast today and indeed my world. Thank you. And that brings us into land for another episode of What's the Point? And I will tag Elizabeth in and thank you for joining us on this podcast. Thank you.